Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Tuesday. It is the 20th of October. I can't figure it out either. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. I hope you appreciated the one day off for being back on the podcast. I think you missed me. Also with me today, completing Team Nightmare for the Tuesday show, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello.
I would like to point out, I am not the person who named the two of them Team Nightmare. They've done that to themselves. This has nothing to do with me. Charlotte, I'd actually like to start with you and a piece that you wrote during the day of the Apple event, where
That blur.
Yeah, that whole bunch of stuff. About one of the things Apple is doing to help the environment.
Yes. So let's roll back to the beginning a bit. You get lots of things. Well, you don't get lots of things in the shiny new iPhone 12 box, which might arrive on Friday if you're lucky. You get the iPhone 12 or the iPhone 12 Pro. You get a cable.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Do you still get a sticker? I don't remember.
I don't know if there's a sticker. I don't know if there's been stickers for a while. Anyway, there is no charging power adapter for the wall.
Right, no wall plug.
There are no earpods, or indeed, which some people had hoped, speculated might happen, AirPods.
Mm-hmm.
There's no headphones at all in the box.
Okay.
Now, this is interesting, and if you watch the Apple Watch SE video unboxing I did, you'll mm-hmm. also notice there's literally just the watch, the strap, and a cable
mm-hmm.
That comes with it. So that's fine. This is a trend, then, we can say, from Apple, and
absolutely.
They couched it in very Apple fashion in terms of it being something for the environment. They said they can get 70% more on a pallet if mm-hmm. they take this stuff out of the box, and therefore reduce the size of the box. And that has all sorts of environmental knock-on effects, all very positive.
Right. Mm-hmm. Less cardboard for the box, more of them shipping at a time. So, you know, fewer pallets, fewer plane trips, all of that.
You will, and that's cool. You will also be slightly not surprised that I'm a bit cynical that this will, I think probably no I know and like it's fine and it's good and it makes sense. I mean, I personally don't need another pair of earpods or another
nor do I
but also I think Apple was going to do this anyway, and it's just found a good excuse to do it. I think they were doing it in a way to kind of encourage people to buy headphones or a power pack. Mm-hmm. They were doing it, yeah. So I think this is a decision they would have made anyway, and they found a good justification for said decision.
I think so too. What's interesting to me about it was, honestly, I was sort of relieved because I haven't used the charger that came in the box for years because I went and bought two port chargers that will both charge an iPad or whatever, because I have other gear that needs powering, and that single port charger, like, the only thing I can say about it is that it's very small, and so when you plug it in, it doesn't take up the other outlet too, so you can use both plugs in the wall outlet. That's like the only thing that it has going for it. The prongs don't fold up, so dropping it in your bag is a pain in the neck. So like, there's a bunch of stuff about the iPhone ones that is not great. So I've tended to use something else for a very long time, so
totally fair. I've been frustrated about the kind of the power capacity they give you, the charging capacity mm-hmm. they give you. It seems to me takes longer to charge an iPhone than it necessarily needs to.
It does. They're not power delivery.
The last Apple device that had a power adapter in the box, I think, was the iPad I bought at the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the iPad will still come with one. Yeah. So the new iPad Air, the iPad Pros, they all come with larger chargers. And for people who don't know, you can use that to charge your iPhone, and it'll charge your iPhone faster than the one that comes in the iPhone box. FYI.
Correct. A good point to make. Well, that's what I've done. I haven't used the one from the box. I maybe take it if I'm, as you say, traveling, but I tend to use the more powerful one.
Yeah. Now that the iPad one is a little bigger, it is one where the prongs fold up, which is why that like for a while that was my go-to charger until I found one with two ports that said like it could charge two iPads at the same time. So I knew it would have enough juice for everything. So I've been used that forever as my go-to travel charger until I got a nice gallium nitride one that I use instead. So, and we've talked about that on the show, the gallium nitride stuff and why it's awesome. So, yeah, definitely look for power delivery if you're in the market for a wall wart.
Yeah. I'm just going to drop in some of the stats that Lisa Jackson outlined from the roof of Apple Park during the event.
Which was a very cool shot, by the way.
We'll shove her up on the roof. Nice. So apparently Apple customers already have 700 million pairs of Lightning headphones. There are also over 2 billion Apple power adapters out in the world. Mm-hmm. She said it reduces the carbon footprint and reduces the mining of precious materials. And as I say, the box is made smaller and lighter, and 70% more products can go on a pallet. She said that the changes we've made for iPhone 12 cut over 2 million metric tons of carbon emissions annually, which is apparently the equivalent of taking 450,000 cars off the road every year.
That's amazing.
None of this is to be sniffed at.
No.
But as I say, I think it is a convenient narrative for Apple doing something they had already decided to do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's interesting that, like, I was just sort of considering this at the time when she said it. If they can get, and she said, 70% more products can go on a pallet. So let's say they used to get 100 boxes on a pallet, and now they can get 170 boxes on a pallet, right? That tells me that the box for the 12 is going to be less than half the size of the box for the 11.
Oh, yeah.
So
I've seen pictures people have posted, and it is virtually half the size.
It sounds like it's going to be a tiny bit bigger than the phone itself, and that's going to be that's going to be it. Like, as soon as they can find a way to put a shipping label on a case, they're just going to go, we ship them with a free case, and the case is the label, and here you go, right? So I don't know, I'm trying to figure out how that's going to work, but like, it seems like and we've seen just the packaging evolve over time from Apple, you know, we've done that. And that's you know, an interesting thing to watch. And I say that because I'm a person who always keeps the box from the last computer until I get the new one, because I never know if I'm going to need it for something. And every time, like when I get the new laptop and I compare the packages, like the box is always a little bit smaller than the one I had before, and, you know, less plastic pieces in it, or less foam, you know, glued to the box so that it's easier to recycle and things like that. So it's interesting to see the phone and presumably iPad packaging evolve as well, because I think the iPad stuff is going to also get has gotten leaner and meaner over time as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because those first boxes had a whole lot of room in them. I know, I was there. So it's
did you throw it in a fish tank and watch the air come out to prove how much room was in it?
I did not. My name's not Steve. So no, I did not do that. But yeah, there would have been a lot of bubbles if I had. So anyway, it's interesting to see what the environmental impact of this stuff is going to be. And we will talk about it more here, of course. Right now, what I'd like to do is take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is MacPaw Software. They make an app called Clean My Mac X. It's an all-in-one cleaning and optimization piece of software for your computer. And, you know, your computer, like, Macs are great, but they need a little maintenance once in a while. And Clean My Mac X helps you do that. You can declutter. You can run maintenance scripts to help keep everything moving like it should. It's very user-friendly. It's very versatile software as well. It comes with lots of features like a smart scan, so it can help you automatically get rid of old system log files and cache files like temp files that you don't need anymore. It'll do a basic malware check. It'll run a little bit of optimization in order to help you keep things speedy. And doing each of those is not a lengthy process. It only takes a little bit of time to do. It will also give you more information than the activity monitor will about what's going on with your machine. And they're also gearing up to make sure that it's 100% compatible with Big Sur. And you can find out more and get your free demo at macpaw.app/TDO. That's macpaw.app/TDO. macpaw.app/TDO. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, I want to get back a little bit to the environmental stuff. There's a little bit more. I think there might be a little bit more to discuss there. And that's cases, which is kind of an interesting thing to chat about. Because one thing I know happens for a lot of people is like, I got a new phone, but my old case doesn't fit my new phone. So what do I do with this little blob of TPU or, you know, hard plastic or whatever it is you've got? And that's another thing to consider.
So before we jump into that, and I know, because I know Andrew has opinions on this, can I also just, the other, just it's worth mentioning because it got lost over in the excitement of the event, spending 30 seconds on the other stuff that Lisa Jackson actually reiterated.
I would like very much to do that.
Which, like, kind of dilutes my cynicism a little bit. So
let's dilute the cynicism. Let's get after it.
We've known this, but it's worth reminding ourselves. Apple has reiterated that Apple Park itself and anything that's directly run by Apple is net zero, but the company wants to have a net zero climate impact by 2030. That includes the manufacturing supply chain, product life cycles, all of that kind of thing. And the iPhone 12 is the first device that will use 100% rare earth minerals in its magnets.
Yeah, recycled. So it's 100% recycled now with the new one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's all worth reiterating those things. It's not just about the tokenistic thing of, oh, look, we made the boxes smaller.
Right. And that's the thing I think is interesting.
The criticism of Apple was always quite legitimately, you talk about all this stuff and you do all this stuff with your own products, but what difference does it make if your suppliers are running massive factories in China spewing out pollution? And they are, to be fair, trying to tackle that issue quite seriously.
Yeah, and we've seen them do this a lot. So, like, the first thing she said, I think, was that they are net zero, I think, for all of corporate operations. So that would be the mothership. That would be if there's still anyone at the previous Apple campus, anything that's sort of a corporate office situation, that's what they're doing. I don't know about the data center stuff. I don't know if that's considered corporate operations or not. But I do know that the data center in Oregon is oh, yeah, you guys have written them. There's a data center here in Oregon that that Apple purchased a hydroelectric plant in order to power it so that it was all being powered with renewable energy. So there's that going on. And I think they're doing similar things in other places, like the data center in North Carolina, I think, has a similar sort of renewable energy situation. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I know that they're doing stuff there as well. And we've written things about other environmental things they're doing. They publish a report every year on how they're doing environmental wise. And one of the things that they're doing to make sure that all of their operations are going to end up carbon neutral is by making sure all of their suppliers are taking similar steps. And that's the part that I think is really interesting is because they're Apple, they can sort of wield that stick, right? Mm-hmm. You know? They can come out and go, like, no, this is how you're going to do it now, because otherwise we're going to buy them from someone who will, right? And so it seems like they do have a lot of leverage in that way to make that happen. So
yeah, I mean, there are a couple of different arguments in this iPhone 12 environmentalism issue. Some people are saying, oh, if Apple wanted to be more green, they should switch the iPhone over to USB-C. And then other people are saying they should support right to repair movements, because I've written about some articles where Apple has been opposing these. Like, Apple doesn't want you to make it easier for you to repair your iPhone at home.
Right.
But my main question was, is having people order and ship multiple lighter packages really better than one heavier one with a charger in it? Because I thought at some point, wouldn't that kind of balance it out?
Yeah. I'm curious what the USB-C, how USB-C would improve this. Like, if it was a USB-C phone, how is that better? for the environment. That's the thing I don't quite get.
I think people were just, like you were saying, you already have a bunch of chargers. And so with USB-C, the argument is just they can, like, for example, I could use my iPad Pro USB-C charger also power my iPhone 12.
That would be awesome.
Now Apple is just switching to a whole different type of charger. And so I think two things can be true at the same time. Apple can be environmental and also still do this for money.
Well, they can be trying to be environmentally conscious and not doing everything at the expense of that, right? So, yeah, I think I'm with you on that. I think USB-C would be great from the less cord, you know, standardized charger sort of stance. That seems legit. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm kind of cynical like Charlotte is, and yeah, maybe they just kind of tacked on this environmentalism thing afterward.
I think it might be that they just work in tandem, right? Like, this also has the knock-on benefit of doing something else, you know? Like, it's also, like, aside from being super environmentally friendly, it means we save money, it means we're more efficient, it means, you know, whatever. So I think that's true. It would really be nice if they were USB-C. I think the MagSafe piece is cool, but I really did expect that we would get USB-C in this one just to make all of the mobile devices the same. I figured eventually we'd get everything off of lightning cables, and that would be fantastic.
You know, this is kind of a separate argument, but now that we do have MagSafe, this solidifies my belief that actually maybe Apple will eventually go, like, there are rumors about this, about an iPhone with a port, with no port at all. And I think I heard people were saying online that from the pictures, at least, the Apple silicone cases go all of the way around, and it doesn't look like there's a space cutout at the bottom for a port. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I wonder about that. We'll have to see where that takes us. If you are on Team Cynic with Charlotte and Andrew here, or if you're just super glad that there's apparently still hippies working at Apple, you can let us know. Email observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter and leave comments in the show notes. That's going to do it for us today. I'm just as excited as everybody else to get my new phone. I'm also kind of relieved I don't have other things I have to do something with, like figure out, you know, is there still room in the headphone drawer for another pair of headphones and things like that. So I'm happy not to have them. One thing I will point out is there was a really nice discussion that we had a while ago on Daily Observations with John Martellaro, where he said it should be a thing that you choose as part of your phone, like, what's your carrier? What color do you want? What capacity do you want it to be? Do you want headphones or not? And that it, like, shouldn't change the price. You know, if you want headphones, cool. If you don't, also cool. You know, and maybe you can get a deal on a pair of AirPods or something, you know, if you don't want a wired pair.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome. I wish they would do that.
I probably agree with John. I suspect it complicates the packaging and the...
Oh, absolutely.
And the logistics side of it, which is why they don't do it, because this is a very clean cut way, and you can obviously buy those items separately. I think the only people this is a irritation for is first-time Apple users.
Yeah.
People are moving over to the iPhone for the first time who will need to buy a separate charger, possibly, maybe a pair of headphones, or at least an adapter. I think that's the only thing, really.
Yeah, if you had a smartphone before, like, unless it was a hardwired wall charger, you can just swap out that micro USB cable or USB-C cable for a lightning cable and move on with your day, and it should be great. That's the thing I think was sort of interesting. I would like if they could do it, Charlotte, like your watch. That would be awesome. So anyway, that's going to do it for us today. I'd like to thank you both for being here. Thank you, Team Nightmare, for coming by. Andrew?
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
Charlotte, thanks so much for being here.
I thought we were very well behaved today.
You were very well behaved today. Yeah. Let's see if I can make it all the way to the end of the show with that. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.